Daf Dalad. So the Gemara begins, says Dalad, right? Yeah, the top, we got four lines down. The Gemara says as follows. Hakol Chayav Mimikra Megillah. We're still going through all those different Mishnahs and Brises throughout Shas, that Hakol. So Hakol Chayav Mimikra Megillah is teaching us, Kwarim Levim V'Yisraelim, they're all Chayav in Mikra Megillah. Pshita, of course, if these three groups are not Chayav, who would be Chayav in Mikra Megillah? To which the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, the Batel Avodasim, in terms of Bita Avoda. That each party, whatever they're involved in, whether they're doing the avoda, whether they're singing, whether they're being involved in the mime, so all these have to stop the bit of the avoda in order to hear the mikkah megillah. Meaning, of course, we know the chayv, a regular person who's not active of duty, is chayv in the mikkah megillah, but the chiddush is, even when they're doing the avoda, they have to be mevatel the avoda in order to come hear mikkah megillah. That's the chiddush. Next case, akol chayavim bezimun. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, all three parties are chayv to partake in the zimun. Pshita, of course they do. So the Gemara answers, Latzicha de Kaachli Kadshim. You're talking about when they're eating Kadshim, Sacha Daitech Amina. I would have thought, it says in the Pasuk, when the Kohanim eat from the carbon chatas, it says, Ve'ochlu Osam Asher Kupar Behem. Amar Rahmana, that the Torah tells us when the Kohanim eat it, they provide the kapara. The Achilas Kohanim, Achilas Kadshim, is the one that creates the kapara for the one bringing the carbon. Va'kaparhi, and this is a kapara. What's that telling us? The Havamina here is, since they have to eat it, they're eating the kachim for the kapara, and they're not eating it to be koveya suda, perhaps the kohanim should not have to be making a zimun. Meaning when they're eating kachim, there shouldn't be a zimun, because they're eating bitaras chiv, bitaras kapara, and not bitaras kviya suda. We don't care what the motivation is, why they're eating. If there's soveya, there's a chiv venching, there's kviya suda, and there's going to be a zimun. The
you brought this before. You said
yeah. Yeah, so that was a different case of in terms of women. This is a it's a separate case. It must be a different dinim that the Gemara is saying. So the Sefer Birchas Kohen asks the question, wait a second, what is Eden? What is Eden for kachim? Meat. So you don't, there's no zimun, there's no Birchas Amazon when it comes to eating meat. So he explains, what?
The lach
meatod. Exactly. He said, it must be referring to the lach meatod or the lachem aponim or shari mincha. It must be referring to menachos where there was bread, where it was shayach to have washing and benching. Gemara then says, "Hakol mitzdar from the zimun. Everyone's able to be included as part of the zimun. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Pshita, of course. If not them, who would be chayiv?" And the Gemara answers, "Lo tzricha dekachli kohanim tshuma o kachim v'zar k'achil chulin. You're having at the same table. The kohen eats his kachim. He brings his tshuma lunch, and you're non-kohen. You're eating your chulin lunch. You have to have a proper hekka there, like eating bas b'chalav on the same table. You're allowed to have the same table, but there should be some type of separation, some type of hekka. So you're both having the meal together. So, but they have, since the kohen eats that which the czar cannot eat, so the Gemara says, I would think, if the czar wants to share some of his tshuma sandwich, he couldn't have any of it. You shouldn't view them as being mitzarf. That can't be a zimun. Kamash Milan, Nihid the Zar Bahade Koin Lamatziach. Granted, the Zar can eat the Koin's food, but the Koin Bahade Zar Matziach, but the Koin may eat the Zar's food. He's allowed to eat the Zar's food. So they can make a Zeman even though they can't share both directions. As long as one direction can be shared, then you can create a Zeman. It becomes very interesting. They talk about Halacha Lamaisa, that let's say you have people having a meal together, and some people having meat, and some people having fleishiks. Milchiks and fleishiks. So you could create a zimun that way. Who should bench? So the din is brought down, Shulchan Aruch, that the one having milchiks should bench, because the guy having meat can't have milk at that point. He needs to wait. So he can't eat the milchiks food. But the milchiks guy can eat the fleishiks food if he washes his mouth out properly. He could have it now. So therefore, since the milchik guy could be mitzdarif with the fleishik guy, the milchik guy should lead benching. Same, I assume, would go hold true here as well, that who should be leading the benching? Granted, the Kohen in general should lead the benching. That's fine. But aside from that, the Kohen, since the Kohen is allowed to eat the chulin food, the Kohen should be the one benching, because he's the one who's being mitzdarif to the czar's food. But the czar can eat the Kohen's food, so the czar shouldn't be leading the benching. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter, halfway down the Amudir. You say, what's not there, I said.
We had a rumor last time that the Kohen's benching might not have been Chakira, you made if it was Darabana.
Oh, in terms of the general din of benching is there, so that would be interesting. You're saying if their chiv to bench in the first place is only a derabanan and the other one's deraisa, that's interesting. But granted, you have deraisa versus derabanan, but there's no tsirif though. You can't have the tsir, the zar. Yeah. So okay, very good. So then the Gemara says, I call marichin. Everyone could do marichin. This is our Mishnah, right? No, it's not our Mishnah. This is just the braisa. Later to the Mishnah, that Hakwanim Levim Yisraelim, Pshita, of course they're able, no, this is our Mishnah, yeah. That Hakwanim Levim Yisraelim are able to do Erechin. Pshita, of course they can. Amarabba lo nitzacha elele ben Bukhri. This is only needed to teach us a Chiddush for the singular Shita of ben Bukhri, the Tanan Amar Yehuda, hey id ben Bukhri be Yavna. Ben Bukhri made the following testimony when he was in Yavna. Ka Kohen Sheshokel Eino Chote. Any Kohen who gives shkolim machatze shekel does not sin. He, meaning the kohen does not have to give the shekel, but if he wants to, he can. And if he does, he's not violating any avera. So the Gemara then says, what would the potential violation be? So Rashi alludes to what we're going to see shortly. That might be chulin bazara. If a kohen's a chayv in shkolim, but he giving his shkolim may not be may have a din of chulin, and it's bringing chulin into the azara, that would be the havamina. So he says, "Eino chode, it's not considered an avera." That's one approach. Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, lo kain, that's not true, ben Bukhri. Ella, kol kohen she'eino shoke chote. A kohen, if the kohen doesn't give shkolim, he's chote. Meaning he must give. It's not a heter. He must. He has the obligation to give shkolim, just like any other Ben Yisrael has to give. He's part of Klal Yisrael. And if he doesn't give, then he dafke is being chote, the complete opposite. Ella, he explained, Shekohanim dorshin mikra zelanatman. The Kohanim made their own drasha. They may own their own drasha to benefit themselves. Why? What was the basis of their heter? That the Kohanim are pata from shkolim. What was their incorrect drasha? It says in the pasuk, "V'chol minchas kohen kolil tiyeh lo sochel." The pasuk tells us by mincha that "V'chol minchas kohen kolil tiyeh lo seachel," that any minchas kohen should not be eaten. If I bring a mincha or you bring a mincha, we're not in kohanim, so mincha is brought. There's a kmitza. The kmitza is thrown onto the mizbeach. The rest is called shirayim. The rest of the shirayim is eaten. But when a kohen brings a mincha, kula kolil. It's like an ola. It goes all up in the mizbeach. There's no shirayim to be eaten. So what's the drash? It's just like a minchas kohen in general, a personal minchas kohen is not eaten. So then, so to hold, the problem is when it comes to carbon tzibur. You bring the shkalim and that funds the carbonos tzibur for the year. And among the carbonos tzibur, many of them are not eaten. Every single day we bring a carbon talmud twice. And the carbon talmud is an ola. Olas don't get eaten. That gets all in the mizbeach. But there are a few events. Every week there's lechem upon him. There's a carbon omer, there's shesher lechem. So the Kohanim made the drasha. Hol, since from the shkolim comes the omer, the she'alechem, lechem panim, shalanu, which are eaten, heim, heyach, heim necham, how could you eat them? If we're going to provide the food, it's called a minchas kohen now. If we're paying for it, that's called a minchas kohen, and you shouldn't be able to eat the lechem panim, the she'alechem, or the omer. So that was the din. So now that's a machlokas. Now the Gemara says further, we're going to come back to it in a second. Hold on. Well, the Ben Bukhri, not me. According to Ben Bukhri, says that a Kohen does not have to give Shkalim because it's a Minchas Kohen. Kevin de l'chachila lo mechai v'lesuye. So since they're not obligated to bring the Kohanim, according to him, so kimaisu nami chote. When they do bring, shouldn't that be a chote? Shouldn't that be a chet? To come ayil chulun azara. They're bringing chulun, something mundane, into the azara. So demaisi lehu. Umaser letzibur. When they bring it in, they're not bringing from their own pockets. Meaning, initially it comes from their own pockets, but they give it to the tzibur that were mamish dedicating it be leiv shalem. That it's going to be all yours of the tzibur. So it's like giving a gift to Reuven the non-kohen, and Reuven gives it over. So when they give the shkalim, they're giving it not betoras the kohen, they're giving it as a gift to the tzibur, and therefore since it's a mesira be leiv shalem, it's not a chulin anymore. So that's the whole machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Ben Bukhri. So now, in the world of Ben Bukhri, though, who hold a Kohanim or Pater from giving Shkalim, so why do you have to teach me a Kol Marichin Kohanim Levim V'Yisraelim? So Gemara explains, Sakadai Techamin, I would have thought, since it says in the Pasuk, Legabi Erechin, it says, V'chol Erkecha Yebesh Shekel HaKodesh, that it juxtaposed Erechin to that of a Shekel, the word Shekel is used. So I would have thought, Kol Disa B'Shkalim, Isa B'Erechin, those who are obligated to give the Shkalim are obligated in the Halachas of Erechin. V'hani Kohanim, hol v'lisnayu b'shkalim, since Kohanim are pardoned from giving shkalim, at least according to Ben Bukhri, we don't pass like him, but at least according to him, lisab erichin, they're not subject to the lachas of erichin either. K'mashmalan hakol marichin kohanim levim yisraelim. That's the chiddush. Gemara says, hold on a second here. Amalei Abai, Abai says, if that's the case, hay v'chol erichin l'chol erichin shatamarich lo yepchusin misela hudasa. This word v'chol erichin is coming to teach me a different din, that v'chol erichin is telling me that least amount of money one could pay for erichin is a sela. That we learn from a drasha we'll see momentarily. It's not available to make this other drasha. A sela and shekel are synonymous. So when it says the pasuk v'chol erichin b'shekel, that means v'chol erichin b'sela, that the minimum amount of an erichin could be a sela. So that's the chiddush of that shekel. It's nothing to do with the shkal m'machzeh shekel at all. It's not available for a drasha. So that cannot be the havamina. So we knock that out. Sela. So back to square one. What do we learn from the Mishnah? Kol marichin kohanim levim yisraelim. So Ella Amar Bai, Bai says Itzrich, you still need that Mishnah to tell me a kol, because I would have thought whole b'ksiv, since it says in the pasuk legavi Peter Rabbeinu says upduyav mi ben chodesh tifta be'erkecha kesev, to connect erchin to Peter Rabbeinu. So it says kol diisa be'Peter Rabbeinu isa be'erchin, those who have to give Peter Rabbeinu, so then they have to follow the lachas of erchin. However, honey kohanim. I would add levim as well. Hani kohanim hol v'lisnau b'pidyon haben lisnau v'erichin. Since Kohen and Levi don't have to give pidyon haben, it's not shaykh to them. So then they wouldn't have to keep the halachas of erichin. That's the havamina. Kamash malan hakol marichin kohanim levim yisraelim. Gemara says that according to this logic, every time it says the word erichin, we connect it to the whole halacha. Erichin's a word we use. It's not a, you can't just use that word erichin as every time the halachas are erichin. Erichin is a word of evaluation, assessment. So Abai says, El Meat, according to your logic, Gavi El Ashim, if a guy steals and then he makes a shua that he didn't steal and then he was caught or he admitted to it, there's a whole carbon Ashim that's brought to the Pesukim at the end of Parsha Vayikra. So it says in the Pasuk that Gavi El Ashim, Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, as Ashamo Yavil Ashim El Tamim Minatzon Be'er Kicha, says the Pasuk. Hachanami, you're going to say, since the word erichin is used here, to hold isa be'erichin, isa be'ayel ashem. El ashem. Only those who have erichin have to bring el ashem. But a tumtum vandrognis, which we saw in the beginning, to the snail be'erichin, they're not subject to lachas of erichin, because you need zachar vada, you need nikeve vada, they're not them, so if they're not subject to erichin, would you say, the snail be'el ashem? They're potter from this whole halach of el ashem, that we've never heard. Doesn't make any sense. So Ella, back to square one again, what's the chiddush of HaKol Marichin Kohanim Levim Yisraelim? So Gemara concludes, I'll tell you why. Ella Amar Rava, Rava gives the final answer. Vitei other say, Rav Ashi, Itzrich Sakadei Chamin, I would have thought, Hol v'ksiv hem midul fin ha-kohen. It says by Erichin that you have to stand him in front of the Erichin. It says, Imachu be'erkecha v'hem midul fin ha-kohen. So what's the din? That hamidul fin ha-kohen, that someone else, a non-kohen, stands in front of the kohen for the erichin halachas, for lo kohen lifnei kohen, but not a kohen in front of another kohen. That's what you would have thought, and therefore would be pater from erichin, kamash v'lan ha-kol marichin, kohanim levim v'yisraelim. Okay, this next sugya here is a little bit confusing. It's a braisa that makes like 15 drushes, just one shot, like overload with the drushes, and they don't have full comprehension until the Gemara later on goes through analyzing each one individually. So there's a lot of halachas we're going to be spewing out over the remainder of the daf. We'll try to take it as best as we can. It's not hard, it's just like small little pieces here. So the Gemara says, Nerachin, so it said in the Mishnah that I call Marichin, but also that I call Nerachin. So what's that called Nerachin coming to include? That everyone's able to be Nerach. So the Gemara says, Nerachin comes to include Asuye, Menuvel, Mukashkin. A person who is a Menuvel, is something disgusting, has boils, has different types of ailments on the body. So even that person, if a person says Erchin of that individual, there's Erchin. We saw earlier that Menuvel, Mukashkin has no damim. There's no value to him. There's no market value. No one wants to buy such a person. But in terms of Erchin, Erchin doesn't go based on value. It goes based on the guy's got a gender, the guy's got an age, he fits into the bracket, so then he's he has an Erchin. So Gemara said, Menuvel, Nemila, how do I know? The Tanya Rabban of the Braisa tells us as follows. It says in the Pasuk, Be'erkecha. So we learn from the word be'erkecha. So the whole pasuk reads this. Right, this is the introduction to erichin. In the pasuk it says, "Daber el bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleim ish ki yafli neder." When a person's yafli neder, be'erkecha nefashos l'Hashem. So the word yafli is always a lashon hafla when he makes a neder, neder nedava erichin. If the person makes this verbal statement, he creates an obligation for himself. So it says kiyafli neder be'erkecha, not in fashas l'Hashem. What's be'erkecha teaching me? So the Gemara says be'erkecha mean lahavi erech sasim, to bring a erech sasim, which Rashi tells us it will hear later on. And he said the whole brisa will be explained later on, so we'll have to hold off what that means. Davar acher. Alternatively, be'erkecha means erech kulahu nosein v'lo erech evarim. The guy takes erech and he has to give erech of the entire body, and he can't just simply do by piecemeal. So the guy says he wants to give erechin of his hand. It doesn't work. There's no such thing as erechin of the hand. It's either all or nothing. The Raisa goes further now. Yachol shani motzi af davershin neshama tliyabo. So if I say I want to do erechin of my yad, it's meaningless. But let's say I want to do erechin of my lave, my moach, my head. So since these things are the davar shen neshama tliyabo, items that my life is dependent, they're vital organs, vital parts of the body. So one might think if I do that as well, erechin wouldn't apply. Tamalomar, nefashos, that nefash is telling me if it's something that the nefesh, the neshama shliyabo, it would be chal. So to say erechin in my rosh, that's like saying erechin in my entire body, that would be a chiv of erechin in that case when it's a davar, shneshama shliyabo. Alternatively, the word nefash is telling me nefash is below mace. If I want to do erechin of someone else, the guy has got to be alive. If I want to think erechin of the person who's nifter, that's meaningless. The guy must be alive. So the Gemara says, oh, it's a mace, so I'm going to exclude a mace. A mace is not subject to being nerach, v'lo otis a ghost, but a ghost is a person who's close to being dead, who's on his deathbed. That person, maybe I would say, I can do erechin, because he's not dead yet, he's a ghost. The Gemara says, tamalomer v'hemid v'herich. You have to stand, and you have to assess his age, his gender. Kol sheyeshu b'hamada, yeshu b'haracha. Those who are able to stand, have the strength to stand, are subject to erechin, to be nerach. But chol she'enon b'hamada, those who can stand, ve'enu b'aracha, cannot be subject to be nerach. And since a goses, although he may not be dead, he cannot be hemid. Therefore, one cannot be nerach. One cannot be marich a goses. Alternatively, Gemara says davar acher nefashos. Now they're not mutually exclusive. These are all multiple drushes that we're all learning from the same words. The nefashos, the Gemara says, ein li ela, I only know echad sheherich echad, that one to one, that one guy could be marich another guy. How do I know minayin that one guy could be marich 100 people at one time? I want to give erechin of all the bodies that are in this room. How do I know that works as well? Minayin, tamalomar, nefashos, I could do multiple people. I could be marich multiple people at one time. Davar acher, alternatively, nefashos tells me, ein li ela, I only know that if an ish sheherich bein ish bein ish, if the man is the one doing it, because the pasuk says kiyaf li ish, if a man is marich, whether he's being marich a man, he's being marich a woman, that works. But how do I know an isha sheharicha ish or an isha sheharicha isha? How do I know a woman could create erchin of a man or of another woman? How do I know an isha is subject to this? Tam minayin tam alomar. It says in the pasuk nefashos that anyone is allowed to accomplish this. Davar acher, alternatively, nefashos is l'rabos menuvol umuka shchin. So that was the whole reason why I brought this whole brisa, to prove the source of menuvol menuka shchin. Menuka shchin is subject to erchin. So sheyachol, the Gemara explains the logic why you need a special drasha. Why would you have thought otherwise? So Gemara quotes a pasuk. It says neder be'erkecha nefashos Hashem. It connects neder to erchin. So Gemara says kol sheyeshu v'damim yeshu be'erchin. Those who have monetary value, have market value, they're subject to erchin. The chol she'ena b'damim ina b'erchin, but those who have no damim, and we saw already that menuvol mukashkin have no damim, you would think maybe by the pasuk ned de'berkecha they shouldn't be erchin to them either. Tamalomar says nefashos, that any nefesh, regardless of their damim, is subject to the lachas of erchin. Then the Gemara says, "Vaya erkecha, what's that word coming to tell me? L'rabos tumtum v'anjognis l'damim, that they do have damim." So we know there's no erechin by tumtum vajagnus, but haya erkecha tell me, but they do taka have damim. There is market value to them. Sheyachol, I would have thought ned de be'erkecha to connect the two of them, like we just said above. Kol sheyeshem be'erechin, yeshem be'damim. Those who have erechin also have monetary value to them. V'chol she'ena be'erechin, those who don't have erechin, such as tumtum vajagnus, you would think maybe ain't no be'damim. There's no damim either. If I want to take market value, there's no market value for them. Tamalomar v'haya erkecha hazachar, that is zachar v'lo tumtum androgynous. So there's no erechin, only erechin. They're only excluded from erechin because the erechin needs a vade zachar, needs a vade nekeva, but they're not excluded from damim. So yachal lo ye berach ish, val ye hi berach isha. One might think that perhaps a tumtum jargonis are not called the zachar, because it says haya erkecha zachar, so not called a man, but they do fit into the grouping of an isha, of a nekeva, and maybe there should be erechin of them as lagabe nekeva. Tamalomar, haya erkecha zachar, vim nekeva hui. connecting Zechar Vadai Nekeva, Zechar Vadai Nekeva Vadais, below Tumtum Vajagnas. So we only see that they're excluded from Erechin, but they're not excluded from Dam. So this is a very long winded, very dense Brisa. Okay.
Is that a different Nedder for Daman? It's not saying Erech, right?
No, it's not. Daman Nedder means I want the market value of this person. That guy, Reuven, I'm making a Nedder to dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash his Daman, his value. What's his value? How much he'd be sold in the marketplace as a slave if he were to be a slave. Erechin means I want to give Erechin to that guy. We don't look at his value. We look, well, how old is he? What if he's a boy or girl? And there's a whole table that the Torah tells me how much you pay. Is it 3 shkalim? Is it 50 shkalim? So that's what the difference between Erechin and Damim is. Gemara now says, Amar Ma, we're going to analyze each stage of the Braisa now. It said in the Pasuk, the first line of the Braisa was, Be'erkecha is the Rabbos Erech Stam, or Erech Sosim. What does it mean, Erech Sosim, Erech Stam? My Erech Stam, the Tani, the Braisa tells me. Ha'omer Erech Stam, a guy says, Alai, I want to give Erechin Stam. He doesn't say Erech Alai, he doesn't say Erech Aplon, he says, I want to give Erechin. So what is he, what's his obligation? There's no target. He hasn't specified. There's no address of his Erechin. So Gemara explains, Ha'omer Erech Stam Alai, Nosen Kepachol Sheb Erechin. He gives the smallest amount. So in the whole table here, whoever is worth the least amount of Erechin, that's how much he gives. V'kama, pachos, shebirchen. So taka, what is? Let's look through besukim. What's the lowest amount? Gemara tells us shlosh shkalim. 3 shkalim is the minimum amount the person has to pay for shkalim. What does it match up to? So the pasuk tells me if a person is miben chodesh, vad ben chameisharim, from the a month old to the age of 5, haya erkecha zachar chamisha shkalim. A man, a boy of that age is worth 5 shkalim. The erchin, ulinakeva, erkecha shlosh shkalim kesef. So a girl from the age of 1 month to 5 years old, her erechin is three shkalim. That's the smallest amount of erechin that we have on the list. So a guy says, Harei erechin, Alai, I'm giving erechin. It doesn't say of what, so we assume the smallest amount, which is 3 shkalim. Gemara says, why do you have to go shlosh shkalim? Why not go the highest? Ema chamishim. 50 is the highest. What's 50? So 50 is for if you have a zachar mi ben esim shana var ben shishim, the prime of the guy's life, between the age of 20 and 60, his erkecha is chamishim shekel. That's the most the person would ever have to pay. So why not go for the most? Maybe his stam meant 50. So Gemara says, a klal we know throughout Shas, tafsa meruba lo tafsas, tafsa mu tafsas. If you're going to grab onto one, we always take the smallest amount. And since the smallest amount is 3, so we assume his assumption is the 3. So Gemara says, 3 isn't the smallest. Shlosh shkalim isn't the smallest amount you could pay. Ema shekel. There's actually a case where one would pay shekel, which is dichsiv. It says in the pasuk, v'cho erkecha yeh b'shekel kodesh. So what's the context here? So Gemara doesn't tell us right now, but the Gemara answers. So either way, we see there's an example where you give a shekel as opposed to 3 shkalim. Gemara says, ahu b'hasag yadhu dichsiv. It's talking about a guy who's got no money. So if a guy, let's say, said, I want to give erchin of myself, erchin of so-and-so, so you figure out how much that erchin is. But the guy talk has no money. He's got 1 shekel. So Gemara says, this guy who's so poor, he could get off the hook by paying just 1 shekel, and he's able to be, he could exempt himself from the erchin. So that's the smallest amount. And the Gemara says, no, that's pasuk yad. That's a special exception of a guy who's got no money. That can't be the guy's stam machshava of a hasag yad guy. He's talking about the regular table of boys and girls. Gemara's Ella, Kralamali. So what's the need for pasuk at all? So what does that question mean? So if you look at Rashi around 12 narrow lines down, Elakra be'erkecha l'mayasa, hol ve'erech stam eino ela shlosh shkalim, since a guy says, I'm giving stam erech, he pays 3 shkalim. Belo kranami yadana. Even without a pasuk, I would have known that din. De below klum, lo miftar, certainly we know the guy says, I'm taking erech, and we can't let him off the hook without paying anything. Less than 3 shkalim, we wouldn't let him pay. Because 3 is the smallest amount. And we have the svara, tafsim rubelo tafsas. So by svara, we would have assumed that the guy who says erech stam would zvade pay shlosh shkalim. We don't need a pasuk to tell me this din. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba bar Avua Alomar, Sheino Nidon Masig Yad. No, that's so chiddush. The guy who says Stam Erchin, there would have been a half a minute to say he should pay like the Hasig Yad guy of one shekel. That's what the Pasuk tells me. No, we don't include him to the Hasig Yad guy, we include him into Shlosh Shkalim. My time up. The din is, since a guy said erech stam, it says if we view it as if he said, as if he articulated, hare alai, the erech of shlosh shkalim. That's how we assume what's going on. That's the chiddush of the pasuk, kimifarish dami. Ikadami, others say it differently. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Nidon Bahasayad. No, when the guy says Erech Stam, he actually does pay one shekel. He does get categorized as the Hasayad guy paying just one shekel. Or Sabshita, of course, we always assume the smallest amount. Why wouldn't you assume like that way? We should always go the smallest amount, and shekel the smallest amount. Where he says it's not so pashit, because Mal the same, I would have thought Kimifar Jamim. We would have thought a guy who says Erech Stam is as if he articulated, I want to give Shloshish Shkalim. Kamashlan, he didn't articulate it, and therefore we go to the smallest amount that exists, which is a shekel. Even though it's by a Hasig Yad guy, a guy who's an Ani, we still go based on that smallest amount, and he only has to pay a shekel. So the two Kedamris, how to interpret this guy who's Erech Stam. Does he pay Shloshish Shkalim, or does he simply pay a shekel? The next stage of the Brice, the Gemara says that Davar Acher Be'erkecha Erech Kulahu Nosin Veino Nosin Erech Demei. That word I think shouldn't be there. It's erased. Erech Evarim. When the guy says Erech of a Yad, we only do Erech of an entire body. We don't do Erech of body parts. So Gemara says V'ha Efkis Afikse LeErech Stam. Didn't we use the same word Erechecha to tell me the Lachas Erech Stam? How can we use it again for the din of Erech Kulahu Lo Erech Demei Evarim? Mar says, "Kari be erech be erkecha." The word is said erech, and it said erech erkecha. So there are two drashas. One is from the word erech, which is unnecessary, and the one is from the word erkecha. Tell me these two separate halachas. Next stage of the brisa. Yachal shani ma motzi davar shen neshama tuliyah ba. One might think if the guy says erechin of a vital organ, he should also be potter from erechin since he didn't say the entire body. Tamalomer nefashos that nefashos that which is the nefesh or neshama tuliyah ba that would be chayiv in kula. Next, Joshua Nefashish below as a mace. The erchin has to be of a guy who's alive. V'ha'afik say, don't we use the word Nefashish? Does this be another din? Or he says, no, Karibay Nefesh, Nefashish. There are two Joshua's. One is from the word Nefesh, one is from the word Nefashish to tell me two separate dinim. Then the Gemara says from the Braisa, Otis a mace, Lotis a ghostis. I would exclude a mace, but I wouldn't exclude a ghostis. The ghostis is still alive. He may not have much of a life, but he's still alive. Tamalomer vehemid veherich. Like we said, he has to be able to stand, and a ghostis can stand, so he's not something that can be nerach. So, Ihachi, that's the case. Mace nami typically, me vehemid veherich. Why have two drashas? Why use nefashos to exclude a mace? One is vehemid. Certainly, if a ghostis can, certainly a mace can stand. So, vehemid should be the source of why a mace is also excluded from being nerach. Gemara says, Hachanami, you're right. With the hemid is the source to how we exclude a mace and a gosis. So, Ela nefesh nefashos lamli. What's the double lush nefesh nefashos? Come on, we're going to, just a moment, we're going to learn another drasha from the word nefashos. What's that drasha? Gemara says, Davar acher, nefashos ain li ela echad, sherech echad. That one who's marich, one person that works. How do I know erech echad, sherech mea minayin, that one could be marich multiple people? Tamalomar nefashos, multiple people. Davar acher, alternatively, the word nefashos could teach me ein li ela ish, sherech bein ish bein isha, that a man could be doing the erechim. How do I know that an isha, shericha ish, ven isha, shericha isha, minayin, how do I know that a woman could do erechim as well? Tamalomar nefashos, that even not only a man, but even a woman could do the erechim. Davar acher, alternatively, the pasuk says, nefashos, lahavi, menuva mucha shchin, that these people are also, that even though in general, a menuva mucha shchin has no value, have no damim, they are subject to erechin because they're called a nefesh. So we make multiple joshes from the word nefashos. So the Gemara picks up on this and says, v'ha afikse lehanich, then we already use the word nefashos for other joshes. Gemara says, hanach lo tzichei kra, those other joshes were not really necessary. My time, what's the reason? Shakalhu v'yavo kulam. All of them are really the same underlying point of nefashos. Nefashos means man or woman. Nefashos means the menuva mukushkin. The nefashos means multiple people. All of those drashas are really included from the use of nefashos just once. Ki yitzrech kra, when did you really need the pasuk? What was the real drasha? The real drasha is the menuva mukushkin hu ditzrech. And that really concludes the brisa of the source that even a menuva mukushkin are subject to the lachas of erech. Let's go weiter now. Gemara now says, last, 15 lines of the Amud here, says in the Pasuk, Vaya erkecha lerabos tubtum van drugus, ledamim. So we saw this at the end of the Braisa above, that this word, Vaya erkecha, comes to include that even a tubtum van drugus have damim. If one were, even though there's no erchen for these two individuals, if one were to assess the damim, the value, there is a market value for a tubtum van drugus. So Gemara says, Lama likra, So why would you need a pasuk? This would be an obvious point that they have damim. Lo ye'ela d'mei dikla. It should be no different than a dikla. If I were to say that this date tree here, I'm giving the damim of the date tree to the Beis Hamikdash, I'm certainly obligated. So why should a tumtum androgynous be any different than a dikla tree where damim exists? So Gemara says, again, d'mei dikla, ila amar d'mei dikla, milo ya'iv. If I said the damim of the dikla, I'm obligating myself to pay the damim of the dikla, would not be chayv to give it. So Gemara says, amar Rava. Rava says, lomar, shenidon b'chvoda. That this, I'm being nidon b'chvoda. What does b'chvoda mean? B'chvoda means, it's a way of saying, if you look at Rashi, last four lines, narrow lines, Rashi says, shenidon b'chvoda. Shenidon kulo acher ever echad shekvoda tzloyebo. So it's another way of saying a davarsha neshama tliyabo. If I'm taking damim of a vital organ, it's as if I'm saying damim of the entire body. I would have to pay the entire body. So if you were to say, Rashi says, Shim Amar Dmei Roshi Alai, no sin Dmei Kulo. If I want to take the damim of my head, I need to give the damim of the entire body. So it's telling me the din that when it comes to Tumtum Androgynous, it is Nidon Bechvodo of this din of Davar Shet Neshama Tliyabo. So Gemara explains, why would you have thought otherwise? So Gemara said, because I would have thought, Neder Be'erkech, the pasuk says, Ksiv, connecting Neder Terechin, Kol Shiyeshnu Be'erchin Nidam Bechvodo. Whatever is subject to Erchin is subject to the halachas of Nidam Bechvodo. The Kol Sheino Be'erchin, those who are not subject to Erchin, such as a Tumtum Androgynous, I would say Eino Nidam Bechvodo should not be subject to the Nidam Bechvodo, and maybe the din wouldn't apply. I mean, if I were to say the Rosh of the Tumtum Androgynous, maybe I won't have to pay the entire amount. The Nidam Bechvodo is tali on those who are subject to the halachas of Erchin. That's the Havimina. The Master Lam, we learn from the Pasuk, that know that a Tumtum Androgynous are Nidam Bechvodo as well. So Gemara now says, Amar Lei, Abai says, is this Yisod, is this principle really correct? Udlo Isa Be'erchin Mi Nidam Bechvodo. So, is it really true that something that's not subject to Erchin, Lemaisa, we do Nidam Bechvodo? Meaning what comes out of this is, a Tumtum Androgynous does not have the Lachas of Erchin, yet we still say it's nidam bechvodo. I mean, these two halachas are not dependent on each other. So Gemara says, really? Is that not true? I'm about to give an example here. The Gemara is going to give an example where something is not part of Erchin, and yet it also is not nidam bechvodo, which sounds like the two of them are intertwined with each other. They are interconnected. That Tanya, the proof is from the following braisa. If the guy says, Rosh Eved Hektish, if I say that my Eved Kanani, I'm making his head Hektish, I'm giving his the value of his head to the base of Mikdash. The din is who the hektish shutin bo, that the baal and the owner and the hektish now have a partnership of the eved. The din is what happens is when I say I want to make this eved his rosh hektish, so now hektish owns his head and half his body. The Gemara explains, and I as the chulin, the regular mess, I own the other half. So me and hektish now have ownership, 50% ownership of this eved kanani. Similar case. If I say, Rosh Eved Machalach, I'm selling to you the head of my Eved, so Misham Benayim, we assume that I'm selling half the body, not the whole body, but half the body I'm selling to you, and now you and I have a partial ownership of this Eved Kanani. Similar case. Rosh Chamer Zeh Hektish. If I want to say the head of the donkey is to the Hektish, so the din is, who? The Hektish Shutim Bo. The owner of the Chamer and the Beis Hamikdash are now partners 50-50. Rosh Chamer Machor Lechov. I'm selling you the head of the Chamer, so Mishamdin Benem, we split, that I own half it and you own half it. So we see either way, these are a few examples, where if I say Rosh, it only goes to half of the body of the Eved, half of the body of the Chamer. But if I say Rosh Para Machor Lechov, if I'm selling you the cow's head, Lo Machor Ela Rosh Shapara, I'm only selling the head, not half the body like above. We said Rosh means half the body, here we said just the Rosh. Below, oh, not only that, Ela Filo Rosh Para Hektish. Even if I say I'm giving the head of the cow to the Hektish, here as well, Ein Hektish Ela Rosha, only the head. So the question becomes, how come by the Chamor and the case of the Eved, when I say that case of Hektish or Mechir, it's half the body, but by the Para, it's only the head, it doesn't go to half the body. So it comes along Amar Papa. Papa says, Dehom is Dabin Resha de Torah Bebe Tapkim. Because it's very typical to sell the head of the cow separately. So I could separate the cow, the head, from the rest of the body. But when it comes to the chamor, the Eved Kanani, no one sells just the head. So you can sell half the body, but you never sell just the head, and therefore the Eved and the chamor goes to half the body as opposed to the part. So now, fine, that's the din. So what's the question, though? So Gemara says, "V'ha'chamor para lisnayu be'erchin." There's no erchin. Erchin only applies to people. It doesn't apply to animals. So there's no erchin by para and chamor. And ve'ein nidim b'chvodo. And we also say it's not nidim b'chvodo. Because even though you say rosho, shouldn't I say that it should mean kulo? If I'm saying rosho is hektish, shouldn't I say kulo both by the chamor and by the para? So we see from here that these two halachas are connected. Meaning only individuals that are subject to erchin are nidim b'chvodo. Those which are not subject to Erchin are not Nidam Bechvodo. So this equation does work against what we said before. So how do we explain above by Tumtum Androgynous where there is no Erchin, but there is Nidam Bechvodo? It doesn't fit into this calculation where again we say that a Chamor and Para don't have Erchin, so they also don't have Nidam Bechvodo. We have to equate these two halachas. That's against the Tumtum Androgynous case. Mar says, hold on a second. Well, the Tamich, according to your logic right now, Tikshir Lecha Eved, what about Eved Kanani? Eved Kanani, we said above in the first mission of the Masechta, they do have Erchin, they ain't Nidam Bechvodo. You can have a case where there is Erchin, but there is no Nidam Bechvodo. So this is exact. This is a, we see that the equation doesn't work anymore. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elokasher, there is no contradiction anymore. There's a difference between Kachim Mizbeach, but Ha B'Kachim Mizbeach, Ha B'Kachim Bedek Abayis. When it comes to Kachim Mizbeach, when I say to the Rosh Eved or Rosh Chamor, the Me'ola, so that I say, no, lo nidon bechvodo. Because you're not bringing the Chamor or the Eved as a carbon as a Mizbeach. When it comes to Demei Bedek Abayis, when I'm going to give the Domim of it, so then I would say, Demei Rosh of the Tumtum, Demei Rosh of the Eved, Demei Rosh of the Chamor, there you would say it's Nidam Bechvodo. Meaning it has nothing to do with Erechin at all. The Din is, it's not equated to Erechin, you can have differences. The whole halacha depends on whether or not it's a case of Kachim Mizbeach, or whether it's a case of Kachim Domim, Bedek Abayis. Okay, we'll stop here. And we're still in the middle of peace now, but hopefully we'll continue tomorrow. Hopefully we'll pick up where we left off to have some flow here.